What is it? What's that sound?
Oh,
there it is. Why, I think that it means that Cousin Rick is calling in from Needham, Massachusetts with Rick's Tech Talk.
Good morning, RT.
Good morning, and how are you?
That was my cue.
That was your cue.
Yeah, the ride of the week is a rather unique-looking vehicle. It's the Lexus 2019 UX250, and you might ask, what is that? It's a subcompact SUV. It's a striking design. It's got some rather odd-shaped taillights that kind of stick up on the side. And ours, the one we have to test drive, is in cadmium orange, which is kind of like an orangey bronze, another one of these new striking automotive paint colors. And it's an all-wheel drive vehicle. The gas engine drives the front, and the electric engine drives the back. It's got a 24 kilowatt hour nickel metal hydride battery. So the battery is fairly big that the it kind of cuts into the trunk space. It has a high trunk floor, but it has a 2-liter gasoline engine of about 150 horsepower, and the total system horsepower is about 181. Now, because it's a Lexus, it comes loaded with all kinds of luxury features. It's got radar cruise control, dynamic cruise control, or automatic cruise control, lane keeping assist, lane departure alert, and intelligent high beams, and it's all LED lit on the outside. The lighting on the outside is LED. And because this is the sport model, we have 18-inch sport wheels and all kinds of sport attachments and accessories on it, such as LED fog lamps, a sport rear bumper, and a sport front bumper, and a sport shift knob. And it even has a CD player for us old guys.
Hey.
And, the EPA rating is 39 combined miles, city and highway, with 41 in the city and 38 on the highway. 41 in the city because it's a hybrid.
So I'm curious. Do you know how the internal combustion engine and the electric motor are integrated? I mean, is it start out electric or it's kind of like a continuous flow depending on how you're accelerating?
Well, I think it depends on how you aggressive you are on the start. You know, from a standing start. But the rear wheel drive is on is the electric.
Right.
But if you because it has such a fairly large battery for the size of the car, you can push the EV all-electric button and drive around on solely electric.
Ah, I see. Oh, that's nice.
That's more for around town, you start pushing the pedal and going over 20 miles an hour, and you'll start dipping into the internal combustion engine.
Right.
And the MSRP for the car is $36,000, but with some options such as blind spot monitoring and a windshield de-icer and a few other things, and a $1,000 delivery charge, it bumps up to $42,710.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, speaking of car paint, I understand you have
car paint, yes.
Car paint.
That's right. That you like that snappy colors we've been getting lately. Well,
yes,
it's very interesting. Our friends at icecars.com, that's I-S-E-E cars.com, have come up with another one of their surveys. They tend to crunch data in some very interesting ways. They surveyed, for the first 6 months or so of this year, used car sales of about 41 million vehicles to determine which vehicle colors are more likely to produce a deal when you go for a sale. In other words, like below market value, which cars would give you a deal, which colors would give you a deal, and which colors tend not to give you a deal.
My first thought would be black.
What, you get a good deal?
Yeah, that would be my guess. Anyhow.
Well, that is like the fourth likely deal color.
Okay.
But the color most likely to give you a deal is beige.
Ah, beige. Good old beige.
Yes. And because on, many days, the way they look at the data, that what IC Car says is that it's the color of many daily drivers.
Mm-hmm.
And so people who want maybe an SUV or more sporty car aren't going to buy a beige car.
Right.
But it all depends on what kind of car you want to buy. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I can just look at my notes here, that some colors, like orange, you're not likely to get a deal on an orange car. It's 20% less likely to get a deal. And mm-hmm. I think the reason there is there are so few orange cars around, and anybody who wants a flashy car is willing to pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
So even though you're not likely to get a deal, there are fewer cars around. And even though most people would not want an orange car, those that want them really do.
Right.
Yeah.
How about pink?
Pink.
Pink.
Yeah, that's in here.
Is it?
You're not likely to, it's only 1% likely to get a deal on a pink car. Again, I think that's because that's kind of, not a common color, and those that want them.
Yeah.
Although I can't see why, unless you're a rapper or something.
Hey, yeah, the pink Cadillac.
Or work for Mary Kay.
Right, right. I want that pink Cadillac, man.
Yes. Like in the Aretha Franklin song.
Absolutely.
Okay. So, like, pink Cadillacs might go, you couldn't get a deal on it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh. And then they also list, like, a whole bunch of popular vehicle, which colors are likely to give you a deal. And, again, many of these cars, if they're beige, people don't want them. Or they don't want them as much, so you're likely to get a deal.
Especially right.
Even Jeeps, you get a 40% more chance to get a deal on a Jeep, Jeep Cherokee and Grand Cherokee. Although, a beige color is kind of like camo out in the Southwest desert. Yeah, I had a Jeep to drive in beige, and it was the Moab version, so it had kind of like black accents on it, and it really didn't look that bad.
Yeah, so what are the other ones? And you said there was a couple of others that were the ones you're most likely to get a deal on.
Oh, didn't you, okay, you the most for, likely ones you're likely
yes,
to
most
get
likely.
A
Let's
deal.
Let's go to most likely, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that beige, because people don't want it. Then some of the other ones are gold and silver and black.
That's what
brown, which is like beige,
right.
Gray, and then it's kind of close to the average. You start getting into gray and blue and yellow and green. But again, it all depends on how many of those cars are out there, if they're a common color or not. But if it's a common color, basically, it depends more on the car itself rather than the color. If the car is in demand, people will want it no matter what color. Although I remember going back sometime when I was buying way back, 20 years ago, when we were looking to buy a used BMW, we could have gotten a really good deal on a BMW 5 Series that was a color called Aubergine, if I'm pronouncing it right. And basically, it was purple.
Oh, aubergine.
Aubergine, yeah, see. I'm a Philistine there when it comes to that French pronunciation or whatever. Yeah. But nobody wanted a purple BMW. And so the car was sitting around, and they couldn't give it away.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, very cool.
And, okay.
Okay, well, let's see. I understand you have a Musk Minute for us there.
Oh, yes. Everybody is all a Twitter about the presentation in Boca Chica, Texas, that Elon gave on a windy Saturday night, last Saturday, when he had his finally completed Starship boilerplate prototype. And this was gleaming in the spotlights there. They pushed it back till after dark, so it was all gleaming in the gleaming silver in the spotlights. And but he really didn't say anything new other than they're looking to actually launch this thing straight up to 20 kilometers, which is about 55,000 feet, in the next month or two. So that probably means if it's Elon time, it's probably going to be in late November or December. And it'll go straight up and then do like a sideways dive, skydive, back down, and then transition to a vertical landing. Because now it has movable fins at the back that fold in against the body of the rocket, and it has movable fins at the front. And it'll be powered by three of these Raptor engines, which have, it depends on what model they are, they have about 500,000 pounds apiece of thrust.
All right, so this sounds like it's going to be a big test. This is like we're moving along now in the
it's a big test to test this sideways dive through the atmosphere.
Right.
You know, like a skydiver coming straight down and then flipping up to land on the tail. And the prototype itself, this one, is really heavy because they built it out of small square stainless steel sections. He did note that the later models will be built out of rolled steel, where all they have to do is take the roll and weld the ends together and make like rings to build up the rocket, and it'd be a lot lighter. This thing now, they say it's 200 metric tons, or 200 tons, so it's kind of heavy.
And this is, again, assembled outdoors in Boca Chica. Very interesting.
Although I think some of those numbers don't play out if you got the thrust of those engines and the weight of that rocket. I mean, there's something wrong with one of those numbers.
Okay, well, we shall see. So,
yeah.
Okay, any other tech news you have for us today?
Oh, yeah, we've got, going back to space, it's not really big news, but the Mars Curiosity rover has been on Mars for many, many years, about 6 or 7 years, and NASA says that the methane sniffer on that probe has now been commercialized to detect methane for looking at pipeline leaks in either using a drone, a small sensor on a drone, or on a vehicle rolling along the pipeline. But also it can be used now that to do research in the Arctic, now that the permafrost is melting and methane gas is being given off, to do assessments for climate change and how bad or how not bad things are getting.
Right.
So that's kind of a little space spinoff.
Very, very interesting.
Yes.
Okay, anything else you have for us?
Yeah, but kind of good news with climate change. The University of Illinois at Chicago has developed a rechargeable CO2 lithium battery. And before, these attempts at CO2 batteries wouldn't last long because the carbon would contaminate the recharging cycle in the catalyst. But they found a way, by adding a few other chemicals and in catalyst and so on, to have a battery that could be recharged up to 500 times.
Oh, wow.
Now, it may not make a dent on CO2 production or sequestration and getting it out of the atmosphere, but it goes to show that we can use this stuff to be more or less carbon neutral.
Okay. Yep. Very interesting. All right. Well, is that a wrap for today, or you got...
I got more.
A little lanyard, as they say in New Orleans.
Okay, well, round it out. Another university research development from the University at Buffalo, which used to be called the State University of New York at Buffalo, but for some reason they don't want state thrown in the name anymore. I don't know why. It's a good deal if you're in New York.
Yeah, really.
But the materials researchers there have developed a lightweight armor say, for soldiers and police or first responders, based on the structure of the outer shell of a pearl, the mother of pearl. It's an interlocking structure, and they can create this thing in plastic to provide lightweight armor for the troops. So it's kind of an interesting adaptation of nature.
Yeah, which many, many inventions have been. You know, careful observation by a very intelligent and creative people.
Yes.
All right. Well, is that a wrap for today?
That's a wrap.
That's a wrap.
Glad we could get together.
Yeah.
And I don't know when I'll be back, but...
Oh, that's right. I heard you're going on hiatus there.
Yeah, I'm getting on my hiatus and riding out of town for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, maybe maybe hobnob with the Pope there. For
if I can catch him on his scooter.
Yeah, there you go. Yep. Okay. Well, thank you very much. That was Cousin Rick calling in from Needham, Massachusetts, and Rick's Tech Talk.